First of all, before we get too far into this, I just want to know, can I record you?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, if there's anything that I'm like off record, I'll just state it beforehand, but I can't anticipate anything like that happening.
Totally,
or
totally.
I don't anticipate anything like that happening.
Yeah, this shouldn't be too personal or anything like that. how are you, by the way? Are you okay? I know you just came out from the protests against the George Floyd murder.
Yeah. I'm fine. It's just pretty hot outside. It's pretty beautiful, actually. There's a lot of folks there. There's some folks handing out like hand sanitizer and water to make sure everybody's okay, which is beautiful. There is a lot more police presence than, I mean, I knew there was going to be, but there's a bit more police presence than I expected right when I was leaving. And the helicopters just came out just a little bit ago. So I still have two friends that are marching. I like just turned off at the street from my house.
Right.
And like people were honking their horns, which is just gorgeous. It was great. And nice. The bus driver's just giving everybody thumbs up. But I'm going to check in on my friends in a little bit to see how it ended up progressing.
Good to hear. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, you are a very recent student. You haven't been coming for a very long time.
So yeah, totally.
Yeah, can you tell me that story?
Let me see where I can start. Yeah. Okay. So I saw a posting on Jeff Stark's email listserv nonsense for the Mr. Robot Happy Hour, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. Sure. And it was like, watch the first episode. And I was like, great. And then I got hooked on the TV show and watched all four seasons before the Happy Hour, which was amazing.
That's a lot of TV.
It was a lot of TV. I mean, you know, I've got some time on my hands right now.
I guess there isn't a better time than right now. That's true.
Oh my God. It was like kind of surreal though. Let's see. And then when I was in the Happy Hour, I was totally in over my head. Folks were asking questions that I didn't even understand the question, much less the answer. And it was just this moment of like, what? And then some pieces I could get and I was like, yeah, but it just kind of left me with this feeling of like, huh, what's going on? And I actually ended up getting out of the call at about like an hour in. And I know that y'all ended up going for probably about 3 hours with that happy hour, I believe.
We thought we were going to actually end it at one after 1 hour. And what happened was that it was just so much fun. And people kept having so many good questions. Mm-hmm. And we kept having so many good conversations with folks. And, you know, with the happy hour, as I'm sure you recognized, it was very much sort of all over the place. It wasn't a curriculum.
Totally freeform.
It wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and I looked at the website a little bit in advance for the curriculum. On the Anarcho Tech website and on TLC's website. And honestly, I was a little like, what am I getting into? What is this thing going to be? What's it going to look like? Like, who knows?
Were you nervous? Was it an apprehension?
It wasn't that I was nervous, but like I when I was looking at the Anarcho Tech website on the GitHub, it was a little in some ways where I'm like, I was like, where do I start on this? It was almost like a ball of yarn where I'm like, well, where's the beginning or the first layer or what? So it was more like that. And then when I was in it, I was definitely like, oh, I'm over my head. Like, is this because I don't know these things or is it? Oh, and I actually have a somewhat odd question for you.
Oh.
I realized I have no idea what your name even is. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but.
Out of the sort of anarchist principle of sort of collective action, we do not assign names to what we do in the group.
Got it.
And so that's why, so it is a very intentional thing. And that's why, you're always going to see me as a TLC instructor and so on and so forth. Partly because of the nature of TLC as primarily a school designed to train politically motivated activists in computer network operations that are, of course, extremely potent.
Totally. I had a sneaking suspicion that was it, but then I was like, at first I was also a little like hesitant because I was like, I don't know who's behind this and who's teaching me these things. Do they know some of these other people I know? And I actually haven't started checking out TLC in terms of like vetting through people I also know.
Yeah.
Which
Part of me is like a little like, huh, why haven't I yet? But I feel like I'm getting a lot out of the classes. And I feel like your analysis of different things you've said, I'm like, yeah, right on. Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about that a little bit, because obviously, you know, one of the unique things about our work here is that we are in this environment that is incredibly hyper-masculinized and incredibly militarized, mm-hmm. and also sort of incredibly geared towards the levers of capitalism, right? It is mm-hmm. almost a cliche these days when you hear people say, well, I want to get a good job. And what they kind of mean is either something in tech or something in, like, you know, sort of a white collar field where they're doing something with mm-hmm. technology, maybe data science, this sort of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's been very interesting to try to form, for lack of a better way to say it, a marketing position that simultaneously mm-hmm. does not feed into the things that we are against politically, but also creates enough of a visible ruckus for the people to notice that we're here and that we're actually pretty competent, and that the things that you'll be learning are the things that you'll be learning in any other sort of environment where you're learning these things, with mm-hmm. the added benefit of doing so in the ways that we do. And we can talk a little bit more about that later, the hands-onness, yeah. the fact that there's a Socratic method, the fact that there's mm-hmm. an extreme militant focus on free software and sort of immediate mm-hmm. The immediacy of the benefits of using those technologies and so on. Has been really challenging, and one of the debates that we've been having is, you know, do we go the sort of like potentially more confrontational route of being more vocal about the ways in which we are trying to make this sort of more, not mainstream, but more sort of recognizable mm-hmm. by people who are very active political organizers and activists and infrastructural to supply them with infrastructural capacities, or do we temper that a little bit and sort of speak to the, for lack of a better word, the desperation that the American public is feeling right now about joblessness mm-hmm. and economic strife, and of course, obviously, the never-ending, attempted slavery of the citizens that is in this country. So, mm-hmm. so or literal slavery in the past 400 years and so. So that's been sort of the debate, and I'm kind of wondering. That's a big lead up to this question of, you know, you were saying,
yeah.
who are these people? I don't know. So, like, you know, when you found the posting on Nonsense, and then you said you found Anarcho-Tech and you saw the relationship, or at least some relationship between the two mm-hmm. groups, it wasn't off-putting, you say, but it was like a little it was a little bit like mysterious. So how did that play mm-hmm. into your decision to like, then, you know what, I'm going to see what this is about.
Let's see. So I did the Mr. Robot happy hour, and then I poked around on the website a little bit more, ended up signing up for that free overview of the website, because I was like, maybe I don't know how to like, kind of like grapple in, or like where to start, or that beginning of that frayed edge can let me in, you know?
Yeah.
Which I found that to be incredibly helpful. There's some information that I felt that I didn't pick up on the website based off of that call, which was super, super helpful, even though then I went back and looked and was like, oh, the website said all that stuff, but why did it pick up?
Yeah. That's okay. That happens as well.
And I was absolutely not turned off by seeing the affiliation between TLC and the other organization that all of a sudden I'm blanking on because my dog is barking.
It's okay. Anarcho-Tech, probably.
It in some ways that like made it more interesting for me, because I was like, oh, that like, because I figured the politics would be pretty on point. And the like the idea of like, I mean, I've used a computer all the time, you know, but I like know that my level of knowledge, like, and I know a bunch of tech stuff, like, I don't know, somehow like seeing like the affiliation with the anarchist was like, oh, I bet the security culture is pretty top notch. And so like learning cybersecurity from some folks that are into security culture seems like they'd probably be legit. My last professional job was at mm-hmm. and the cybersecurity team there is amazing and is more intensive than any other nonprofit I've ever worked for. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. But they took like security culture to the next level in a way where I was like, oh, whoa, how do I, oh, am I putting myself at risk for this? Or like, what do I not know about like the little pop-ups that say accept my cookies? And I'm like, I don't want to, how do I say no? Where is the button to say, God, just close the window, you know? Like,
right.
Which was one of the things where I kind of wanted to be like, is there like just an entry level class that y'all offer on like what to do about the cookies?
Right. You know, you know, ironically, I think there is. There is the Digital Defenses for the People workshop, which is a little bit more of like a conversation than it is a workshop.
Oh, practical digital security. I see it. Yes. Got it.
You know, it's interesting. I now actually have so many questions because the way that you sort of approach this is really, really, really great. So one of the things, you know, we're not trying to train just anyone in the public, right? That's why I would say if you're looking for a job, we're probably not the place for you. Like there are plenty of places you can go get a job certificate or like an introductory class on this or that. And while we do obviously think that our both material and training is not to be arrogant about it, but far better than what we've seen elsewhere. I'll let others be the judge of that, of course. The goal is really not to train people who are sort of passively interested, but rather to train people who have a commitment to the sorts of political change that we'd like to see and have an understanding that will require an infrastructure that doesn't currently exist and needs to be built, not in the form of new tools, but in the form of an educational sort of milieu that provides the knowledge necessary to gain the skills needed to use the tools that are already available. That has been an incredibly challenging thing to get across because, and this is where the question comes in, because people who identify themselves as sort of privacy centric or interested in digital security as, you know, as advocates, as opposed to, you know, people for whom, you know, primarily they're interested more on an individual basis, which is, again, not wrong. We welcome them as well, but that's not really the goal. The real goal is, like, you know, to train the people for whom this is going to be part and parcel of a larger motivation. That they've been some of the most difficult to get into classes. And so even though we're parts of groups like the Electronic Frontier Alliance, you know, I don't think a single EFA member has come to our groups. It's very hard to get EFA members to come to workshops, free or not. And so, you know, it's heartening to hear actually that you come from and you have a background in organizing, I imagine, because that's clearly more, that's, you know, that I wouldn't say better, but I want to say it's like, it's more, it's more where we're trying to reach. Right. And so,
yeah, it's more in line. Well, I mean, like I definitely know. So I feel like I do have somewhat of like a theoretical framework, but mostly for TLC, it's like purely been curiosity driven. It's like I go to one class and I'm like, oh, that was cool. I'll save a bunch of tabs, like look into some stuff. Like, oh, I wanted to do that. And during the process of the class, you usually like reference another class and I'm like, oh, I should sign up for that one too.
Yeah. I mean that's the nature of the media, I think, is that it's it's very easy to sort of interlink things. So one lab break goes quickly into another one. But also I think the actual subject matter is itself extremely intertwined. So you can't really be good at, like, you know, good in the sense of like, you know, they say you need 10,000 hours to master a skill, right? Well, if you're flying, you're flying an airplane, you need 10,000, you know, hours in front of a, you know, in a cockpit, and you're more or less doing, you know, one balancing act, right? Which is keeping the plane in the air. And with computers, that's not true at all, because you absolutely have to do all the things all at once at the same time, right? In order to be good with the computer, because what the computer is really just an extension of the way that it allows you to think and process information and then re-express that information through, you know, other means, whether that's setting up servers or putting, you know, lines of code into a project or something. And that's really not something that you can do if you only hyper-focus on one skill area. It's a very different game.
It's totally different. And I do have to say, too, the other thing for me that's really helpful in the way that the classes are framed, it's not just like, this is how you do it, like click this button, type this and do this. It's a lot more of like the underpinning of why and how it works, which I think it like takes it to the next level, especially for me where I'm like, oh, I've got this and this, and I can kind of connect it to what I learned about this. And then I think like it allows me to critically think about processes and systems before being told about it, Does that make sense?
Totally, yeah. Actually, and that kind of leads me to that other question that I was wondering about a little earlier. You say you have some tech background, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you also say that you came to the Mr. Robot thing and some stuff was like totally over your head. And I think that that's a pretty common experience, actually, where people sort of have mm-hmm. some exposure to one thing or another. Or maybe they've even worked in the fields. But, one thing that we've seen over and over again, I'm not sure if this is because of, again, the approach that we take in the class that you just highlighted, or because of mm-hmm. the material being, sort of, well, we like to say that our 101 classes are 201 or 301 classes elsewhere. Yeah. And that's not to say that we think that they shouldn't be 101. It's not, you couldn't do them. It's just that when we have 101 level classes, we're already using the most so-called advanced technologies and tools that you're going to see in the much more advanced classes. And that's because there's no real distinction between the tools you use. You just have to know how to use the tool, right? It's like saying, here's giving someone a power tool when you're teaching them cabinetry mm-hmm. making is not wrong, right? They're going to need to know how to use a sander. So you don't not give sanders to beginners, right? They're going to use the same tools. You just have to actually train them with that. And we don't see that happening in other classes. So that's one of the things mm-hmm. that we do. But so like this common experience of having sort of maybe initial sense of being overwhelmed, and then mm-hmm. even though you have some background, how did you reconcile that with which curiosity? What made the curiosity win?
Like, where did I, like, how did I bridge that gap? Because it was overwhelming and it was a little intimidating, where I'm like, oh, maybe I'm out of my depth. Maybe this is not the path I should be looking at. Even though I'm curious, maybe I should just, like, look at some other stuff. And I think I signed up for your email listserv, and I ended up getting the email about the free overview about the website. And I was like, why not? Let me just, like, maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe there's, like, an entry point that's easier for me. Or maybe they'll explain to me, like, which one is the 101, or where it's easy, like, where's the ideal path in some ways of, like, a student mm-hmm. Or learning. So I think that, like, just jumping from that, like, what, to a pretty accessible overview of the website, which at first I was like, maybe I shouldn't even, like, take this thing, because are they just going to show me what's on the website?
was that not what happened? Or was
website? That is what's happened. That what happened, and there was more than just that. I felt like there was a different type of framing. I'm trying to think. It was more personalized, so any questions that any of the other students had were answered.
Right. Well, it was real time. That's a big difference.
Because it was real time. Yeah. It was totally real time. And it wasn't just like an intro to the website, but it was an intro to all of TLC is what it felt like.
Right. Yeah.
To kind of give like an overall overview arc of like what the program can do, or like what the organization can do. Is that how it happened? And then I was like, oh, I'll just sign up for one class. We'll see. Because honestly, I am currently unemployed and just got an extended unemployment 13 weeks from the government. So I all of a sudden had a little bit of a pocket of money, and I was like, oh, I can take one of the classes. Why? I mean, and especially with the tiered model that you have for the tiered queer pricing. Identified and femme identified folks. I was like, oh, I can afford to like risk $28 and see if I learn anything. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I got enough value out of that first class. And that's when I was like, oh, I'll sign up for the next thing. And then that's when the curiosity kind of snowballed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. They're very helpful too. So do mm-hmm. you then feel like, well, first of all, which one was that first class?
I think the first one I took was the Tor workshop.
The Tor workshop.
No. BitTorrent. I took the BitTorrent. I think Tor browsing is the next one I'm taking.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's coming up, so possibly. The BitTorrent workshop also is that's a funny story behind that one, but I'll get to that maybe later. Just that it was never intended to sort of be like, it's not in our curriculum anywhere. But then mm-hmm. but then lockdown happened, and we realized that actually this is something people are asking about all the time, and so we might as well just do one. Anyway,
totally.
Yeah, it was very, very, very funny. but yeah, so okay, what was your, so that was the first one you took. You've now taken,
I thought I've taken like two or three, and I've got like four or five lined up, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
that's what I'm probably looking at then.
I think, yeah, I can't remember. Let's see. I've taken BitTorrent, the virtual machines.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are the only two I've taken so far, outside of the Mr. Robot Happy Hour and the the intro. That can't be right, can it? I feel like I'm taking another one.
I remember, so you were in numerous classes that I remember teaching.
Huh,
over
let's
the past
see.
Like month and a half. So maybe were you in the exploiting web applications workshop? Was that one of them?
Oh yes, I was in that one. I was in that one. Yeah.
So like that's a good example, right, of a workshop that's like nowhere near intended for beginners. Mm-hmm. How did you feel in it?
Oh, that one was great. Yeah. I really liked the gamification of the fruit stand. Isn't that the name of the website?
Juice shop.
That's right. Yeah. That made it like a lot easier. I don't know. Like, I just really liked it. I think that the second that you got to the exploits using the database language, what is that?
SQL.
Yeah, SQL. That was when my brain like exploded.
Right. But you didn't feel left behind, or it wasn't because you know that. That's an example that's really, you know, for us, it's considered, you know, a sort of a 201 level class. So for most people, you don't even really get to that until you're talking about, you know, you've taken a networking, you know, curriculum, much less a single course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I kind of expect to go into a class like that, like almost like it's like immersion, like when you're learning a new language, where I feel like I'm going to go into the class, I'm not going to understand everything, and that's okay. That's not the point.
Exactly. That's true.
The point is for me to get value out of it and figure out like how I can like connect some dots.
Right.
So like that's the big thing for me. And then I like I save all the tabs in Pocket that I open up during the class, and I tag them all with TLC, and then I go back and look at things, and you know, like
sure.
There's a certain amount of also like self-guided learning that can happen as well. So it's kind of nice and interesting to feel like I can get my hooks, my claws in, or like my teeth into something, but that there's more there.
What was your favorite class?
What's my favorite class so far? I don't know. I do have to say, I thought that the CMD online modules, especially the Mystic one, was adorable.
Awesome. That's the enchantment at the command line you're talking about?
Yeah. That one was adorable. I think that one might be my favorite so far, which that one felt definitely 101 for me.
Right, yeah.
But because I was expecting more of a, like, how do I learn which commands that I need to know most? Because, like, I understand the concept of the terminal. And there's some, one of the other modules was super helpful too, in terms of a little bit of like theoretical framework of using terminal that I hadn't really like put into place.
Mm-hmm. And these are you're talking about the free ones that are just on the website, the foundations courses. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm still feeling a little like, I'm like, ooh, I still don't think my terminal skills are that strong. How do I get them stronger? I did find, what's this one website that's got some like, wait, let me tell you which one it is. That's got like some terminal practice. Let's see. That I now have some time set aside to do. Let's see. Well, there's Hack the Box EU, but that's not the one for this. That's not the one for the...
Yeah, there's quite a number. We used to recommend Code Academy before they started charging for their beginner courses.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called Taming the Terminal that I know about that is really good.
Think that might be it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Taming the Terminal is fantastic, and it's an article and podcast series. So we recommend that and have been recommending that for a long time. And you know, it's interesting because we didn't have any of the original, you know, beginning foundation courses on our website because we simply linked out to Taming the Terminal. But it didn't, you know, maybe that same thing happened where you're like, you know, am I going to go to this thing and people are just going to tell me how to read the website? I know how to read a website, but actually it was really helpful. You know what I mean? Like maybe that sort of same thing happened. People don't always, you know, there's a lot to read. And if that's not the style in which people are used to learning, or if that's not, as you know, their learning style doesn't sort of meld well with having to read a lot, then it's really nice to be able to just sort of do something right then and there by loading a container in your browser, like the foundations courses allow you to do, or coming to a workshop and seeing in real time something like this. So yeah, that makes sense. Do you feel like they prepared you well enough for the courses, that when you were going through the foundation series, were they, you know, were they enough to give you a sense of, when I open a terminal in a class, you're not lost?
I can follow along in a terminal. Like, it's like one of those things, like a language, right? Like I can read it and hear it and understand it, but I can't write it just yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It did feel like there was, I'll think on this a little bit more. It did seem like there was maybe like one more module that I would have loved to take before some of the classes, but maybe it's actually part of the modules that I haven't taken yet that are on the website.
Hmm. There are also some more being planned to be put out there. So I think we have another 15 or so that is not quite yet ready for being published, but will eventually be published. So it's possible that it's just not complete. So maybe you're not missing anything. It's really just not there right now.
Not there yet.
Yeah. Okay. What about your expectations before you came? Like, have you taken classes akin to this or sort of adjacent to this sort of topic before? Is this a completely new experience? You talk about the cybersecurity team at. Were they giving you any kind of corporate training that sort of reminiscent, or at least sort of in the same ballpark as this?
Let's see. I did get some security training, but it was specific to the project that I was working on. So it was very grounded in next steps, if you will. It wasn't very conceptual at all. Mm-hmm. It was like, should we put super glue in this USB port? Should we?
Right. Tool and tactic focused.
It was very tactic focused of like, how do we wipe the phones? How do we check for malware? How do we do this? We had some like as needed kind of training. Some of it I kind of already knew. Like in some cases, I would just look things up online and be like, hey, Reddit, what's up? Let me find out this. And did end up finding some pretty fun workarounds in order to get what I wanted done. And then once I like knew how to do that, then I played around with it a little bit to be like, what else can I make it do?
Right.
So like, there's a couple things like that where it's like self-guided in some ways. And then definitely having some expertise of like, and I'm sure that you've picked up on the fact that I am definitely a person that doesn't shy away from asking questions.
Yeah, that's great. That makes, for what it's worth, right? The classes when they are in real time, that makes the class, you know?
Totally.
That's what makes the class good. If no one's asking questions, it's just a lecture.
And that's boring. Well, not that it's boring. It's just like harder to be like, how does that apply to this other thing I was thinking about? One thing that I'm really into the classes with other students is sometimes other people in the class ask questions that I don't even know to ask.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I'm like, whoa, wait, what do you mean? What? What's Vagrant? What does Vagrant do? Wait, I got to Google this while you're still talking.
Right.
Oh shit, I missed what you just said because I was Googling this other thing I've never heard of before.
There is a Vagrant, not specific class, but a Vagrant, there is a workshop in which Vagrant is a central piece specifically.
Oh,
and that's,
cool.
That's called Automate All the Things.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm not ready for Automate All the Things because I can't do the things that want to be automated yet. So I'm like holding off on that for a second.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fine. But when you get there, it's part of it. And also, of course, the labs themselves, the actual practice labs you can download and run on your own, is they're all automated with Vagrant.
Oh, cool.
So that's useful. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't gotten to the level to run any of the labs yet. So that's one of my things. And you asked if I'd taken any other classes in this format.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken some on-demand learning in other areas, I really find that live teachers work better for me than like pre-recorded videos. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just to get me in front of the computer and do it, in most cases, it just like creates that sense of like time boundness.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. I've had a very hard time learning from recorded classes as well. When I was, you know, I was unfortunate in that I did not actually have a live teacher at all. But the result of that was that it just had to that it took me a lot longer to get to the point where I'm seeing TLC students now get to. And that makes sense, you know, the live instruction. There's something about human mimicry, I think, is a huge part of human learning. And you don't get that if you are mimicking a recording, because what you're missing is, as you said, that you're getting very sort of tools and tactics focused. But if you don't find yourself in a situation where that exact tactic or that exact tool is available to you, you're sort of out of luck.
Totally.
I did shoot over an email to a few of my friends that I thought might be interested in TLC.
Awesome.
And I have found, and I mentioned to them in the email, no matter what the time is that's set up for the class, I always add an extra hour on and expect that the class will go an additional hour.
Yeah, that I admit. So that is not every class it happens that way, but I am.
Oh, so far it's been consistently every class.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, what I say is every class that I teach tends to do that because I have this. I remember, you know, the sort of after the official close of things being always the best time for me. You know, I'm one of those people who's like always wanted to hang out later, like let's go to a coffee shop afterwards and hang out and talk. And like that's when the real stuff. So for me, that's just like I just like don't care about the end time. I'm just like let's just keep going, you know. And that is not a universal like policy.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I like the first time I was like a little antsy, and then I was like, what's going on? But I want to stick around because it's still good and it's still interesting. And then every time after that, I'm like, I'm just expecting that. Just and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. And if it ends earlier than that, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's my style. But on that note, like the thing that I'm curious about, given your particular you know, you have some a little bit of corporate training experience. I think a lot of people who have this corporate training experience have had this sort of scenario where they feel like they are getting a like they're looking through a pinhole, I think is how a lot of people might feel about it. I know that when I talk to some folks and they talk about even being in the cybersecurity field, but trained at a job, you get this very, very narrow view of what is useful for the job and what is useful for that specific role at that specific company. So, for example, I've heard from digital security trainers who have told me that they don't feel like they really understand how to answer questions because they can only answer questions about like the one tool they're trained to answer questions on, right? And to me, that speaks to a failure from an education standpoint because they're not being trained in security principles; they're being trained in security practices. But the practices flow from the principles. You can't actually generalize a tactic if you don't understand why that tactic is effective in the environment you're in. And so they find themselves sort of, and I'm not going to say name names, of course, but like there's some people who have been in some very prestigious roles in some of these national online privacy and security training organizations that have told us at TLC, told me personally, actually, that you know, they feel like they've sort of that they're in an environment where because they're trainers rather than developers or you know the actual IT team or the actual security team at that place, that they're not getting training in the ways that the cybersecurity team is and the IT team, you know what I mean? And that's really striking to me when you're talking about sort of national organizations whose supposed job is to train others, right? How I don't understand how you know those trainers aren't prioritized in those organizations. And I think that tends to do a disservice to groups who are paying much more than you know they would pay at a workshop at TLC, as an example, to have a private corporate training on these things. And so that leads me to my question, which is when you compare your experiences either in that environment or when you just sort of your actual experiences at TLC with the with expectations that you had before you arrived at classes, what do you how do you feel about them? Do they meet? Do they just is it just a completely different world? Is it apples and oranges? Obviously, the goals of certain training groups are different, and I think even you know TLC makes a very big point about saying that it's you know you're not going to get the same kind of training with us as you would with you know at General Assembly or Flatiron you know school and so on because we clearly have very different end goals. But
different goals.
But for your goals, do you know, given whatever it is that you wanted to do, whether it be just curiosity or you know your own purposes, did you find that or have you been finding that the workshops that you've been attending mapped any expectations you have? Has it been completely different? What was the outcome of that?
Well, I feel like I don't go into TLC with many expectations. First of what's going on. I feel like if I went to any of the General Assembly classes, I would have much higher expectations or different expectations, partially because of the price tag. And
yeah,
I mean, really, and partially because it seems more, how do I say this? Like when I'm thinking about like the information that TLC is providing as opposed to General Assembly or like say like trainers within certain companies, it feels like those are focused on like this is what you need either for a job or the capitalist system or for the end goal of the organization itself. And it's not as focused on like what do you want to learn, what's helpful, here's all the information in some ways. I feel like there's something else I was going to say about that, but I just lost my train of thought.
Well, so the price point is an interesting piece of it too, because that has been, you know, so this is maybe not history you're aware of, but for 3 years, TLC was entirely free. There was no classes that cost anything. There were no workshops. We were doing sort of workshops on a, we were a little smaller in that we didn't have an online presence. And so it was a little bit harder for certain people to find us, of course, if you weren't in New York City that didn't. You couldn't come to a workshop because they were in person, but they were all free. And then we decided in 2019 to stop doing that. And the reason, weirdly, was because we got more attendance when we charged people.
Oh, because then people are more invested in showing up.
Not only it's that. Like similar to, yeah, go ahead.
It's similar to free events versus like paid events in some cases. Like
right, yeah.
You can, yeah.
But also we found that... and I want to be careful here because I don't want to put down the folks who are doing free digital security events because I think that that's great that they're doing that. But we're not doing what they are doing. It's very clear to someone who has come to a workshop that what we are doing is on a level far beyond both technically and in terms of ambition, what you'll probably see at a library where you're going to like, here's how to like, you know, wipe the browser history in your phone or here's how to encrypt your phone. Yeah. Like it's which is why I don't want to put them down because we're not, you know, I mean,
people have to enter in at different places. Like we don't all start at the same place and that's totally fine. There's
The challenge though, because when we were doing free events was that people thought it was the same. And so what happened was we were unable to sort of, you know, because TLC didn't even start in the same way that these other sort of advocacy grassroots community group things started. You know, we have a very different history as well. But what happened was because it didn't appear to be different from the outside, if you didn't know any better and you didn't have any experience already, then you looked at, you know, the 10 or 20 different, you know, groups in New York doing, you know, some kind of digital privacy, whether it be sort of a downtown meetup or whether it be, you know, a different EFA, Electronic Frontier Alliance member, or just sort of like, the city's own, you know, here's how to do, you know, see something, say something on the internet kind of thing, right? You couldn't really tell the difference because none of it costs money. You could go to, you know, NYPL and go to a privacy workshop and you'd think it was the same thing as you hop into a TLC class where, you know, even though what you know, our descriptions are things like, you know, launch your own phishing attack, like sure the United States, like, you know, the MTA is not gonna host that, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
But you don't know what that means. And so it's hard to tell the difference.
And
Totally. And in some ways, when I looked at some of the workshop descriptions, some of them I was a little like, what? I don't even know what that means. Like, what would I learn? What is happening here?
Right, right.
But I do have to say one of the things that I tried to sign up for some boot camp or like there's some sort of like hacking 101 through Full Stack Academy, I think, that I was going to take. And it was just boring.
Yeah.
Like, how is it so boring?
I don't know, and, because this is exciting stuff.
Yeah. And so like something about like the way that the TLC is approached, either in terms of like, what can you use this for? What can this go? It's just, it's more interesting.
Yeah. Cool. I know that a lot of people come to TLC from, well, I'll give the example of someone who actually came to a phishing workshop, and they were a cybersecurity engineer at a law firm.
Yeah.
And they left in what I can only describe as awe that they didn't learn what they learned at the workshop at the job. And so I'm kind of wondering from that, because this is also a thing that we consistently see happening, where people come in with an expectation of what they might learn that is far, very different from what actually happens. And I kind of want to tease out whether or not that's because of the material or because of the approach or a combination of it. I think a lot of people are, you know, because we have these two conflicting things happening. On the one hand, people come to a webinar and expect to sort of get their hands on a keyboard and sort of go through a series of steps on their own, because they've seen that happen, right? That's how a lot of teaching happens.
Yeah, well, I think that's about like teaching pedagogy, right?
Right.
Well, I'm hearing two different things. I think it's a little bit about teaching pedagogy as well as marketing and communications of what the workshops and events currently say on the website. Mm-hmm. It feels like someone who is an expert in cybersecurity wrote the workshop synopsises, which is perfect and great. But for someone who's an outsider, it's sometimes like, I don't really know what's going to happen. And then like after I take the class, I go back and read it. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
Again, it's like that thing of like a beginner mindset of just even for marketing of, so yeah. And I think that in some ways for me personally, like paired with my curiosity, I'm like, I don't really know what's going to happen. I'm going to learn something. It's helpful for me. But there's definitely a few of the classes, like I signed up for the Shell class, the Writing with Blue Fire, where I read it and I'm like, I'm definitely going to be in over my head. Like I probably shouldn't have signed up for that class based off of the synopsis, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you had that experience with other workshops that you were like, I shouldn't do this, but then you did and it was okay, or it was exactly what you thought and it was too much, or...
Let's see. Well, I didn't sign up for the Automate All Things because I was like, that's going to be over my head. I wanted to sign up for the crypto, the bare bones crypto, but I was like, I don't think I can do that one. I think it's more like I haven't taken some classes because I'm assuming that it's over my head based off of the write-up or the synopsis. I know that some of the classes have that matrix that say beginner versus not.
Yeah. The persona training matrix.
Yeah. Some of them, which I think was a little bit of why I wanted to take that, how to understand the website, where I was like, what's beginner? What's 101? What's 507?
Right,
like, where do I get there?
I mean, that's kind of another challenge, right? Is that we don't really have a curriculum that differentiates between what other people would call beginner or advanced, because we start with the things that people don't show you until they've already bluntly brainwashed you to believing that a certain way of things has to be the way to go about it. And
totally.
That makes it difficult to, because part of it is that, you know, it's not that there's no progression. There's obviously a progression, but the frustration, I think, from the teaching team for us is that it's, there is a prescribed way to, go about teaching this from the perspective of interest in jobs and the sort of cooperation with capitalism that does not serve the goals of an individual or a non-cooperative, you know, capitalistically non-cooperative organization such as an advocacy group whose entire purpose is to upend that system. And mm-hmm. what we found is that part of the, you know, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, and, you know, I happen to be one of the, I'll say, more experienced from the professional side of things, folks in the group, just because I'm unemployed now, but I've had a almost 15-year career in tech, and I hated it. But I did. I absolutely hated it. I learned a lot, but I hated it. And I certainly didn't learn comfortably. It was very painful. You know, one of the reasons I'm involved actually in TLC is because I personally don't think that you should have to struggle in anguish to learn stuff. That doesn't make sense. As a learning methodology, that seems stupid.
Yeah.
Learning should be easy because it's something humans do very naturally. It's something we're made to do in a way. And it's something that we can do if we're given any kind of sensible guidance that isn't designed to restrict us. And that's exactly the opposite of my experience in the tech industry. And this is what I keep hearing over and over again. People say, I'm looking through this pinhole. Like, I don't really understand why, you know, that group is doing that over there or how this sort of technology relates to what we're doing over here, because I'm never told and I'm never shown. I'm never given an opportunity to try it out. But anyway, so, sorry, that's a little bit of a vent. But my point, is that as a result, right, when you come to a beginning networking class for TLC, you know, you're shown Wireshark, but that is a tool that security analysts use day in and day out. I mean, that is a military tool. you're not, and you're shown that in one of the first things we open in a networking class is already at the level of the stuff that you will see at a SOC, at a security operations center, on every screen from every analyst that's there. And there's no middle ground because there doesn't have to be. Because it's the same tool. You can do that stuff you could teach that stuff with the complex tools in the same way that like I wouldn't expect someone to go to a graphic design class and never be shown Photoshop until they're into their fourth year. That's absurd.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happens with security, and of course it's because in Photoshop you don't have the capability of actually immediately, for example, carving out files from an exfiltration. I mean, it's a very militarized capability, right? It's a weaponized thing. And so there's a culture around the teaching of it that is itself very, very, very skewed. And so it's difficult. So at the same time, we're trying to like say, well, we don't want to then say that, you know, Wireshark is an advanced tool because that doesn't make any sense, actually.
Yeah.
We at the same time don't want to give the impression that if you have never had any background in this, that you're supposed to understand the plethora of menus and buttons and stuff like that. That's not the goal either. But you seem to have this understanding intuitively where you say, I'm not going to understand everything, but I'm not supposed to. And I think some people do think that they have to come in and leave having that, and finding that balance has been really tricky.
Well, I think that it's like the wrong assumption to go into any class and be an expert after an hour. Also if you think about it as an analogy of a muscle, if I'm learning to use a new muscle or if I'm learning a new, like, I don't know, dance move, I'm not going to be perfect at it at the choreography after only having like a 15 minute lesson. Right. If I've never even learned how to do any of it, I've never tap danced before or whatever.
But at the end of those 15 minutes, right, like hopefully if you have a good teacher, you should, I hope, right, feel like, you know, maybe I could do this, or I feel like I'm sort of getting it, or I see the outlines, or I kind of understand where we're going, right? Has that felt true to you?
That's totally felt true to me. And I think follow that analogy of like choreography and like 15 minute lesson or whatever. Like also after 15 minutes, you kind of have a general idea of what the steps are, even if you can't memorize and remember them all, and that you're enjoying it. Like, I think that enjoyment is like key to keep going.
Right. And so have the workshops that you've been in at least met that bar? I mean, enough to at least continue to pay to come.
Totally. Yeah. And I do have to say that you're like following, like, what do you call it? Like going down a rabbit hole of like a rant about something political. I'm like, what?
what?
Yeah, that's been enjoyable.
I'm glad that I've been loosening my tongue a little bit, I gotta say, just because it's hard not to in these mm-hmm. in this climate. But yeah. But I'm glad that has been fun as opposed to, again, confrontational mm-hmm. or off-putting. It's definitely
no. And in some ways, some of those like give a hint of like what can you use this information for, right? Like when you're talking mm-hmm. about when you're like, do whatever you want, but practice with the legal stuff. that
yeah, that's, I mean,
like that, it's yeah. real. And then just like the hints at like, oh, maybe you might want to look at, see what happened with DNC. That would be, like hints at things that make it like very like real, but not in that prescriptive way of like, if you do this, then you can learn to do this, robot face, like it's.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're at an hour, and I want to keep my promise of not keeping you for longer than an hour, no matter what. So, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about this and for answering all my questions. Sweet. Thank you again. This was super fun. I really appreciate your time.
Totally. Same. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.